CliffCentral.com.
All right, all right, all right. Good morning, everybody. We've got the lovely Simpiwe Mthethwa, the not so lovely Gareth Cliff, and the also not so lovely Ryan Tindon this morning. How are you, Ryan? Now, go. Ryan, let me introduce. Yeah, don't worry. You don't get a great intro like the lovely. This not your first time on the show. Not how it works. All right, so let me just explain who Ryan is to a couple of people. Ryan's been working with us for a long while now. When did you actually start? It was like, end of last year?
Yeah, about September.
Yeah,
about September. I was on the MKT show, yeah.
There we go. He was working with Bulelo for a long time, and he's been doing some video and some other stuff for us recently. He's also been kind of producing along with Simpiwe and Dori on this show a little bit and doing a lot of the social media stuff. So we thought we'd introduce you to him so you know who the hell you're dealing with. That's what we like to do on the show. People want to know who's who in the zoo, so we try to introduce everybody in some way, shape, or form. And I have to warn everyone this morning that because today we're doing a little housekeeping, in a very literal sense, we're also going to have the great Jane Malachi on now. This is some people's favorite thing. She has always been a real source of great entertainment at Cliff Central, and Jane continues to be one of those people who polarizes everybody at Cliff Central. You either love Jane or you shut the fuck up is basically the only rule. And Jane will be joining us later on. So Jane is actually looking for a part-time, a piece job as well, because she's recently decided she needs more to do, and she wants to find the ideal job. So I said to her, well, you know what? There's no one better to ask than the people who listen to this show. So we're going to be chatting to Jane Malachi later on, which is going to be very exciting. Yeah. So Ryan, all right, give everybody a little brief background about you so that they can ask all the really serious personal questions straight after you've told us this stuff.
So I'm a producer by trade. I got my diploma from the Academy of Sound Engineering in 2017 or 2018. And I have a fascination with radio. I had like a radio show in high school. Yeah. And then I decided to try out podcasting. And so I actually do music and podcasting. But I just love the entertainment industry.
And then for your sins, you ended up working with us. I mean, yeah, what a horrible outcome that must have been for you. You were getting excited about radio.
All right.
All right. Well, I mean, it's a Wednesday morning. We're going to keep you busy this morning, keep you entertained, hopefully keep you informed as well. Got a lot to talk about. I promise that we won't talk a lot about sport because I will fall asleep. But Ryan does want to bring up something about Benny McCarthy. Because, yes. I mean, you would be the only one who'd know this on the show. Simpiwe, do you know about him just signing as the first head coach for Man United, the first team head coach for Man United? Because I didn't know any of this.
I did.
Oh,
it was
did.
Trending on Twitter. That's the only reason why I know.
If I didn't, I'm not even on Twitter, so I'm so out of it. So what does that even mean? Ryan, what the hell is the first team head coach? Is that like the main guy? That's not the most.
No, it's pretty much, he doesn't manage the team, but he's the first team trainer. So I was having a chat with Greg yesterday, and he just found it hilarious how Benny McCarthy is training one of the greatest players in the world.
All right, find it hilarious because I don't know.
He's not in shape, exactly.
Yes, I don't even know what it means. Okay, so Benny McCarthy, a lot of people give him shit because he's a bit fat, right? But he obviously, we don't appreciate him as much as they do. That's the story.
No, well, that's...
That's the real story.
And that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I was like, you know, it's actually, that's, say what you like, it is very impressive that a South African footballer is now the head coach for Manchester United.
No, I think that's worthy of celebration.
Do you think he'll do a good job?
I think so. From what I was told yesterday, it sounds like he gets along with a lot of the players, including Cristiano Ronaldo.
Why do you say it like that? Are you not a fan?
No, I'm not a fan of Ronaldo.
Sure he's hot.
I'm not a United fan. Everyone knows this. I'm a Chelsea fan.
Well, nobody cares.
Oh,
nobody cares who you support, but I'm sure that Cristiano Ronaldo is not going to have sleepless nights about you not supporting him either. I'm sure that really breaks his little heart. So. Hmm.
But I just found it interesting. There's a lot of South Africans making in the big leagues now. You know what I mean? We got Elon Musk on his way to being the first trillionaire, I think.
Yeah.
We have all the obvious ones. We got Trevor Noah on The Daily Show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've got a princess in Monaco who's in prison. Well, she's being held captive by her husband. We've got a famous Hollywood actress. Has she decided what gender her child is yet, Charlize? Because I know that was a big thing a while ago. Yeah. That really put me off her. I mean, obviously she's been hankering for me for the longest time. So now, you know, she's heartbroken as well, just like Cristiano Ronaldo's destroyed to hear that you don't love and support him. This poor Charlize Theron, she was really devastated when she heard that I didn't love her anymore because she was turning a boy child into a girl or something. I don't know what I'm going to do now. I mean, you know, I thought we were destined for each other. What can I say?
it wasn't for me either.
Yeah.
Catch your losses now, Gareth. It's over. So, but yeah, Ryan, you brought up something interesting. I think there's a lot of South Africans doing big things. We have Black Coffee working with Drake.
He's fantastic.
How's that one?
Yes, he's just doing bigger and greater things. But I'm also liking, as you guys know, I listen to Amapiano. And I'm loving that the fact that the sound that originated in South Africa is going international with the likes of like Uncle Waffles, you know,
Uncle Waffles.
To play.
I'm so glad you brought Uncle Waffles up. Who the fuck is Uncle Waffles?
I also want to know this, actually.
Come on, help us
it
out.
It is
here,
a female DJ.
And her name is Uncle Waffles?
Yeah, that's her stage name, Uncle Waffles. And she is filling out stadiums. Well, not stadiums, but she's filling out festivals internationally. You know, Drake is a huge fan of Uncle Waffles. So I wouldn't be surprised if she's in America very soon working with Drake because he has a huge crush on her.
All right.
And yeah, like she's doing the things. And also just the Amapiano guys are doing international
Uncle
things.
Waffles.
They're playing at...
I'm just blown away. Every morning I learn something new. There is Uncle Waffles.
Yeah, she's one of those.
She's not what I expected Uncle Waffles to look like. I thought Uncle Waffles was like some drunk guy who like, you know, makes the children's party awkward by getting hammered and like inappropriately touching one of the aunts.
Oh no. She is one of those, you must not listen to her sets. You cannot listen to her sets. You need to watch her. She is such a vibe. She literally performs as she's playing the songs and she's just like, dancing. And she's like, she is amazing. So if you ever see Uncle Waffles perform, you're going to be amazed. And she's doing big things. I think she's like 21 and she's already like playing at like Afro Nation in Portugal. And yeah, like there's like Amapiano people just doing international things from Gabza to Maphorisa. So shout out to them as well.
I'm very pleased that you brought up Maphorisa as well, but there are plenty of South Africans. Now you've taught us something. You know, every time I come onto the show, there's something new I learn and it's always unexpected stuff that I'll never use, but Uncle Waffles, you know, that's really amazing. All right. So Dogo Zohair is already, climbing in where you left a huge gap, Ryan, and says he's the first team striker coach, not the head coach. But yes, Ben is a legend. Right. Sanelli goes on to clarify and says the first team strikers coach is the guy who trains the guys that score the goals. The head coach is the goalkeeper coach. I don't know about that.
Okay, why are there so many coaches?
Oh, no. Sorry, head coach is the GP. Goalkeeper coach is the dentist. Striker's coach is the psychologist. Okay, so basically he's trying to explain it in terms of medicine to me, which, I mean, if you'd only done that, Ryan, we would have had you on the show many, many weeks ago, but clearly
medicine isn't my specialty.
Your explanations are terrible, really. Waffles sounds like a kid's show that ends up having a massive pedo scandal decades later. Hey kids, it's Uncle Waffles. That's what it sounds like. But I mean, when you've seen her, it's completely unexpected. She doesn't look like a creepy pedo uncle at all.
She's gorgeous. She's absolutely gorgeous. Like, I'm like, yes, I see what Jake sees in her, and she's a flame.
All right.
A huge flame.
All right. You learn something new. You learn something new every day. I love Simcard. You're a huge light. Wish you were on more often. Well, she's on every week. What do you want, Ruth? I mean, I've been telling Simpiwe to start her own show for months. Have you made any progress on that?
Yes, we have, Gareth. I'm glad to say we are cooking something up. We literally, like,
we discussed this 3 months ago, and I'm still waiting. You know what TikTok stands for? You know what it is, Simpiwe? It's not that social media site that China runs. TikTok is the sound of your life running away from you while you're being given an opportunity and not taking it with both hands. Where is the Simpiwe Mtetwa show?
It is coming. It is. I can even tease it a bit to give you like the
no, don't, because we're going to wait.
The premise of the show.
We're going to wait another 3 months.
No, you're not.
TikTok. All right, go on, tease us.
But it is coming. Oh, okay. So the show is going to be about me and Mesh speaking to young creatives about being in the creative industry and doing all things creative. All right. So it's definitely something you guys would want to listen to. You know, we have your most favorite YouTubers, TikTokers, people that are in photography, authors, everyone in the creative space. We're going to be talking to them.
All right.
So look out for that.
And I've started the countdown. So are we going to have this?
Soon and very soon.
Are we going to have this show?
Have you seen some people set up?
Is this going to be before August, the end of August?
Way before August.
Okay, all right.
It is Women's Month,
Well,
that's also a bit of incentive to drop things.
I'm waiting with bated breath. So there he goes. Ruth and everybody else who loves having Simpiwe on the show, she's going to soon be doing her own thing with Mash on Cliff Central. Stick around for that show. It's going to be amazing. All right, so a couple of people talking in the comments that Demi Lovato has now changed her pronouns back to she, her. If that is not an attention-seeking endeavor, I don't know what is. Oh, pathetic. You know, the problem is that these people who do these things, they really are attention seekers. They're not actually to be taken seriously, which is why I feel so sorry for parents who take them seriously and then, you know, end up having to change it all back a year later. It's just, it's very, very disturbing. Really, these people are not to be treated as serious people. And also, you know, if you're going to do this stuff, and you go through with the gender reassignment surgery or whatever else it is, and then you change your mind later on, the damage is done. So I think you've got to be super careful about this. And we make jokes about like Caitlyn Jenner and everybody else on the show, but it's actually a very serious thing. And I think a lot of people's lives can be ruined by it. If you don't think it through really carefully and you don't make the decisions for the right reasons, if you have to make them at all, I mean, you're going against biology. You're going against the way you were raised. It's you're making extraordinarily difficult decisions. And as the great Christopher Hitchens used to say, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. So if the only evidence that you've got that you're transgender is the way you feel, I'm afraid that's not extraordinary evidence. You need to go back to the drawing board, gather more and better evidence, and make a decision like that with the seriousness that is required for a decision that is going to be life-changing. And if you don't, you've only got yourself to blame when you end up being miserable, unhappy, and ruining your life, which is what happens to a lot of these people. So again, Demi Lovato, you know, she's not a serious person, and I don't believe for a second that Demi Lovato gives any damn for how many young ladies she's inspired to do stupid things to themselves. And I don't think she cares. She's just in the business of attention seeking. And she does a very, very important job of ruining people's lives by being the crazy crackpot that she is. So please, if I could say anything, especially to very impressionable young teenage girls, do not listen to Demi Lovato. I know that more of them listen to her than to me, but you're an idiot, and you're looking up to someone who honestly couldn't care less whether you live or die. Demi Lovato. She's not interested in young women all over the world. She couldn't care less about you. And she's proven that. She's proven that again by making it all about her. Congo Chris says he reckons she has brain damage from smoking crack, and nobody wants to say it because it's apparently ableist to say smoking crack is bad for your brain. Doesn't she also believe in aliens, Demi Lovato? I don't know a lot about her. Sanella says, Gareth, SIM card is leaving out an important detail. The main reason that Uncle Waffles caught traction is she used to strip and expose her thong while she was DJing. I'm not sure if she still does that.
Well, she wasn't stripping. She wasn't stripping. Come on, you're being a bit dramatic. But yes, she would like do her performances because she's quite petite.
Yes.
Okay. And I would say she was going for like that old school hip hop look where you have like the sports bra on say sports bra on, and then you have the track pants, you know, and she has the nails done, and like maybe a bit of her thong was showing back then. But I feel like that was just the aesthetic she was going for. But she's a performer. Like, she dances like nobody else's business. That girl will move and shake and make you feel the song and just be like, okay,
I've got
that's
a much,
what she does, and that's what she's great at.
I've got a much better picture of her if you want me to show this, then it'll give you an even better idea. No, it's not gonna get us deplatformed from YouTube. It's just she's wearing exactly the outfit that you were just talking about, and she looks really hot in this picture. So there she is in a thong with the track pants and the little, you know, that's a good look.
Aesthetic.
Okay. No, she's got a good look. She's got something going there. Okay, so that's Uncle Waffles. Mm-hmm. Who knew, huh? Who knew you'd wake up this morning, discover the world of Uncle Waffles? I genuinely saw.
And Uncle is a female.
I know. when you first said that, I promise you, I saw like this cranky old man with like, you know, sort of gray hair and a little beard. Almost looks like that Xhosa King Dalindyebo. Who? Hey, what you doing? What you doing playing outside my house, children? Get away from my lawn! I'm Uncle Waffles, and if you come on my lawn again, I'm going to get my shotgun and shoot you in the head. That kind of thing. That's what I thought he looked like. But it's a she.
I thought it was like Ghost Lady a bit.
What?
I thought it was like Ghost Lady, like on the podcast. You know, when you just hear a voice and there's no one really there. And they just give the voice a name. That's what I thought it was.
So listen, didn't you recently, you lost your iPad or something, which is kind of stupid. Did you lose it or did someone steal it from you? Because that's not an expensive thing to lose.
I know. I lost it. It was actually, I lost it in this very parking lot, which makes me even more mad.
You lost it at work. What were you doing? Were you just not paying attention? Did you leave it on the roof of your car?
I did exactly that. I left it on the roof of my car. And then I had a conversation with Michael.
You moron.
Like, I don't know. We got into some deep conversations, and then I got into my car and left. And then halfway through the highway, I got a notification on my Apple device saying you've left your iPad behind. But I was already on the highway, and I was like, oh, man. And I drove back here, and it was gone. And so,
but do you think I was
upset, but I just accepted it.
Do you think it fell off and smashed, or do you think it fell off and someone took it?
It could have been both, to be honest. That was the scary part of the whole thing. I have no idea I forgot it. Because I didn't take a backpack with me that day. So I'd left my laptop at home and I just brought my iPad. And then I was like, hold on, where did I put it? And then I just couldn't believe that I lost it in that shock of a second.
Yeah,
and it just made me think, like,
you know, I was calling you a moron, but I actually feel sorry for you because this is the kind of thing this happens to everybody all the time. You know, I mean,
Pua had something similar a couple months earlier as well.
I wouldn't say similar. Well, I don't think.
No, okay, it's not similar. Mine was moronic, but Pua had her phone stolen a couple months ago as well. And so it's like
someone I know,
expensive things to lose.
Someone I know left, I think it was a wallet on the roof of his car, but he didn't have far to go. And when he got there, it was still on the roof. It didn't blow off.
Wow.
So he must have been going really slowly.
Really slow.
Yeah, and he couldn't have had far to go. But he was like, oh my God, where's my wallet? And he got out of his car and he saw the thing on the roof and he traveled. He hadn't gone far. But that is, I mean, the luckiest break in the universe, because you'd probably be thinking, oh, no, I definitely left it on there and it's gone, like you did with the iPad. Now, if Find My iPhone, you can't locate it. Was it switched off or smashed? Does that disable the Find feature?
No, I actually didn't have a SIM card in there with data loaded on it. And obviously I have passcodes on there and everything. So anyone who could pick it up couldn't really get in.
Right.
And they couldn't really connect it to Wi-Fi. So I just kind of had to accept it was gone.
We're all so distracted. That's the problem. We're so distracted. We're on our phones. We're busy wondering about where we're going to go next. We've got appointments. You know, we've got work to do. We're distracted. That's why I interviewed this guy yesterday. His name is Johan Hari. He's written this brilliant book called Stolen Focus, Why You Can't Pay Attention. And I spent an hour and, I don't know, 15 minutes or so with him yesterday in the studio. And, you know, I love interviewing people face-to-face. It's such a weird thing. We take it for granted that is something. I used to do that every day. We used to do 3 hours, and one of those hours was an interview with somebody. And we did that for, 5 years? So that's a lot of hours of interviewing people. And now I'm so used to doing the show this way, you know, where we're virtual, where you guys are in different places and I'm in a different place. And I kind of expected, because he's an international author, he's written screenplays. He wrote the screenplay to that Samuel L. Jackson movie, Chasing the Scream. It was made into an 8-part TV series. And he was the executive producer of that, as well as a movie as well. His second book is called Lost Connections. He's written for the New York Times, Le Monde, The Guardian, and others. And he's done TED Talks that have been viewed over 80 million times. I mean, this is no small, pathetic author. This is a really, really impressive human being. And with this book, what he did is he traveled around the world researching and asking the smartest people he could find about whether or not human beings have lost their ability to pay attention. And even if we haven't lost it, whether it's declined so much that now it's harder than ever for people to be able to pay attention to each other. So it was really great to sit opposite this guy and ask him all these questions and to have read the book, which I cram read like an hour before I met him, because I'd read a little bit of it and then I'd kind of left it. And that's how I read. I mean, I'll skim through books. But this one was fascinating, so I'm actually going to go back and read it again. But I had so many questions to ask him, and I thought, wouldn't it be stupid and ironic if I did an interview about paying attention and I wasn't paying attention? So I realized again how important it is to focus and to be in flow when you're doing something that you care about. And with interviewing this guy, it just flowed. It was a really, I can't wait for you to hear it. I think we'll have it ready for you next week. But what an interesting discussion, and something we are all struggling with at the moment. So if you, like me, feel that you know something's wrong, you know, you're constantly distracted by these screens, you spend way too much time trying to get your attention back after you've been distracted, like you'll be interrupted by someone while you're in the middle of a project or something, and then you come back to it and it takes you so long to actually get back to where you were. All of this is stuff he addresses, and it's fascinating. And I can't help thinking, Ryan, that, you know, leaving an iPad on the roof of a car and that kind of thing, that's the stuff that happens when you're not paying attention. You know, you drop some balls because you're juggling too many.
Yeah.
And we're all starved for attention. And we're exhausted because we're expected to be, you know, we sleep less than ever. We're expected to put out and produce more than ever. And it's just become hard to find that balance. And I can't help thinking, and we blame the equipment, we blame the digital devices, but it's not just them. It's us. It's all up to us. You know, you can't blame you can't blame the KFC up the road for making you fat. You go there and you eat. That's why. That happens to you. So, I mean, it's really interesting, and it'll make for a great discussion. So I'm looking forward to that. Gary says you look like the splitting image of Dwayne Vermeulen. Is that a compliment or let me just look up Dwayne Vermeulen?
I'm also trying to work that out.
Let me look up Dwayne. I can't remember what Dwayne Vermeulen looks like. Yeah, have a look here.
I don't know.
You reckon? Dwayne Vermeulen, the rugby player. What do you think, Sibuwe? You know who this is?
No, I don't, but I'm trying to think. I just don't think so.
I had to look him up as well. It's because, you know, again, you talk about sport and it's like talking to someone who's got an IQ of 13 with me.
No.
Yeah, that's Dwayne Vermeulen. You reckon he looks like Dwayne Vermeulen? I don't think so.
No, not at all.
Sorry, we disagree, Gary. We do not agree with you. People are so busy chasing money, says Congo Chris, that they forget the two most important currencies. Money is great, but don't forget to pay attention and spend some time. Pay attention, spend time. We use the same words that we would for money, right? That's a very good point. Mm-hmm. If you don't use a cell phone, you won't have any problems with your attention. Unfortunately, there's a longer possible reason for most people. Everyone is like Flynn, is like Flynn. So parallel parking's raised an interesting point there. I'm not going to go into too much of this, but I do think the book addresses this. The interview that I had with Johan Hari will also help you understand it. But he says something that Yonder's kind of invoking here. It could not be that we've reached the limit of our linear way of thinking and doing things that help us keep our brains moving and come off as distracted. No, we actually only have, and this is something that has been proven by every study they've ever done in this area. People think they can concentrate on more than one thing at a time. And the truth is, you cannot. You just can't. So forget about it. You think you can concentrate on more than one thing? Got bad news for you.
But you can.
Impossible. You can think about one, maybe two things in your head at the same time ever. But usually it's just one. And even the smartest people struggle with two. So there we go.
Yeah, and it's also said when that happens, you tend, even if you're thinking of two things, that the one will be like much more. So you would do that at a really high capacity. And then the other is actually way, it's even below what you would do. It's just that people have convinced themselves that I can multitask. I can. Can't chart.
It's not possible. All right, so it's 5:30. Let's look at a couple of headlines and see what's going on in the world. Where should we begin? Let's take a look at some of these stories. Okay, well, first and foremost, and Simpiwe, I know you want to talk about the Real Housewives of Pretoria, which is coming soon, which if there's ever going to be a Real Housewives, that's going to be the one. But
I'm so excited.
But the real Housewives of Politics, the ANC, have vowed to abolish TV licenses and implement a household tax. So listen to this. These guys are such morons. The ruling party has vowed to scrap the embattled public broadcaster's contentious TV license and replace it with a hefty tax. Oh, yeah. We're going to love this. What do you guys realize, like, you're becoming less popular and you need to do something that will make you more popular now? Taxing people is the opposite of getting popular in politics. So according to Communications Minister Kumbutso Ncheveni, she addressed the media in her capacity as a member of the ANC. She provided feedback on what took place over the weekend. She said, the TV license arrangement, she really should be on Housewives, is not working. Oh, really? oh, you genius. She said, it's actually impacting on the SABC's ability to survive. Wow, you must be a brilliant communications minister.
They're lying. Why are you lying?
I swear to God, I'm quoting directly from her here. This is the idiot we've got in charge of communications in this country. No wonder she can't communicate. She added that the public broadcaster must be strengthened. Why? Nobody ever goes, why doesn't one of these journalists go, why? Because she won't have an answer. Because the SABC is very important. Why? Because they broadcast in many languages. Why is no one listening to them or watching them in the numbers they used to? Because we don't give them enough money. But if we gave them enough money, would that mean people would start listening and watching? No. See, nobody asks follow-up questions of these idiots. Anyway, she says, in the public mandate, we want the SAB to be funded from the national fiscus, but we are proposing a household levy. So this is what they want to do. they want to charge each household this levy that will be collected by multi-choice. So, oh, so there's another thing.
Okay.
There's another thing. There's another thing. Wait, I don't care about. I don't have a DSTV subscription anymore. I don't care about you. You want to go? Who's going to collect it from multi-choice? They're going to debit my account for a service I'm not using. Don't you understand? I don't watch the SABC. I don't listen to their radio stations. I don't watch DSTV. I don't. I'm not a client of yours. You can't get to my wallet, you greedy fucking pig. Anyway, so the SABC thinks that this is the way to go. The organization Undoing Tax Abuse, OUTA, believes this will be problematic. Thank God, some adults in the room.
No.
How? Wait, but how?
it's because the head of Netflix ignored them, that's why. Remember when they tried to go after Netflix to try
get what did you want to ask, Simpiwe? You wanted to ask something.
My only... If they say I was going along with what they're trying to propose, and I'm like, this is a great idea. They're saying multi-choice is going to collect the funds. But we know that majority of South Africans don't even have multi-choice. That's why they have SABC, because it's free, right? Like, you know, so how are they going to collect from people that don't even multi-choice is it's a certain percent of people in South Africa that actually have.
I know what you're saying. You're saying that multi-choice is actually a subset of the viewers who can't afford multi-choice. They're a subset of the people who have to watch the SABC. In other words, most of the SABC viewers don't have multi-choice. That's why they're stuck with the SABC. Yeah. So how are you going to collect from multi-choice if they're not even on that? All right, to this. Here's the fact, all right? The SABC's annual report for last year pointed out that only 2.5 million licenses were paid from a database of 9.5 million license holders. That's all. So, I mean, that's tiny. And I still don't understand why anyone would pay their TV license. That's like those people who pay for e-tolls. I don't know who they are. Don't know where they are, but they're idiots. Oh, hang on. I do know one. Leanne Moll pays her e-tolls. She's the only person dumb enough to do it on this show. All right. Katlego, my boy, is going to return to the Espresso morning show. I don't know why. I don't know why they... I don't see why he should do this. I think he was fired from that show because they believed that ex-girlfriend or ex-wife of his, who said terrible things about him, he's now been exonerated and cleared of all those charges. They should be, I hope they're paying him an absolute fortune. I hope he's being paid four times what he was then. Because if he's just going back with his pride in his hand, saying, please can I have a job? I think that's very sad. I don't believe that this guy's been treated fairly. And I think it's actually a disgrace that any of this has happened to him. He's returning next Monday. He will join Graham Richards for an emotional sit-down. Oh, can you imagine? Imagine that. It's going to be like an, so tell us, you know, what's happened? How's it been? I'll tell you what he should say. He should sit there and go, yeah, that bitch lied. And I'm back because I did nothing wrong. And if you believe liars like that in the media, like this show's producers did, when they fired me from it, you should have to pay a fine. So I'm sitting here waiting. Here are my bank details. That's what he should do. Anyway, he won't. It'll be boring. But cancel culture has become a trend in South Africa. Individuals calling each other out on social media to publicly magnify their perceived offenses. This leads to a campaign calling for them to be cancelled, meaning members of the public are encouraged not to support their work or buy their products. This happened 2 years ago to Katlego Maboy, who was suspended from SABC3 pending an investigation into the allegations of gender-based violence. He was accused of abuse in a social media post. And, of course, subsequently, he has been exonerated. So he says he's filled with so much gratitude to those who've been supportive and encouraging. Well, I want to get him on this show, because we were supportive of him from the beginning. And I think he he knows that we were there. We didn't buy any of this bullshit from the start. And it takes courage to stand by someone. It doesn't take courage to do what these pathetic producers of that stupid show, Espresso. First of all, what is it? It's Espresso is the coffee. Espresso is a dumb show. It's really, really dumb. I think Catlejo is wasting his talent there. He should go back to doing the insurance ads. That's where his real talent was. Of course, I'm being sarcastic.
I hope he gets that bag again.
No,
I hope.
What, you don't like Ilana Africa? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, it went from bad to terrible. So no.
Anyway, a statement issued by the channel says after a protracted legal process, the courts absolved him of allegations in January 2022. Of course, none of that was his fault. Cordova TV managing director Patience Stevens said that the domestic violence obviously is a serious problem in our society, one which they as a company stand strongly against. Oh, I thought you guys were for domestic violence. I mean, isn't it just the default position that most companies would be against domestic violence? Anyway, she says, we are relieved that the legal process has run its course and that Catlejo has cleared himself in the court of such allegations. He is a rare talent. We're happy to be. Anyway, that's the story. So there it is. It's outrageous that he was ever, for 2 years, this guy hasn't had any work. For 2 years, he's had no income. For what? Because of bullshit. That's what. Anyway, that's all that we've got time for in the news. We're going to get to Sean Sanders himself just now with some revics for us. But are you serious that there's a Real Housewives of Pretoria coming? Is this
yes,
a real thing?
Gareth, and I'm excited. I am excited. If there's a reality show that I do want to watch, it's this one. It's going to be in Afrikaans, guys. Like, I think that's where I'm getting my excitement from. I'm going to be seeing how the mighty, the rich, the wealthy live it up in the Afrikaans community. I've not seen it before in life. So I'm excited to see how do these ladies actually spend their money? What do they do with all that money? Like, what kind of money do they have? You know, are they like generational wealth? Did mostly they inherit this? Did they just marry rich? I'm excited. It's called what? The Housewife Fund Pretoria. They even changed the name for these ladies. It's guys.
They're calling it the Real Housewives Fund Pretoria.
There we go. You see, it just has that.
Ryan, are you excited about this at all?
I think it's going to be hilarious. I was saying to some people yesterday, have you ever watched Bursa Kafro?
Yes, what a horrible show.
What a horrible show. I'm getting flashbacks of that. Like, I mean, that's why it's going to be funny. And also, I don't know, whenever I go to Pretoria, there's a lot of drama there. So I feel like it's
really
going to be funny. I've only been whenever we go to like the strip.
Yeah, in Hatfield.
I don't know where exactly it is. Yeah.
I have been to the strip before. Pretoria, dude. Pretoria's
the amount
hectic
of things that go down in Pretoria.
I think you guys
have these massive bounces.
I must be honest with you, having been in Pretoria most of my life, I think you're in for a very, very big disappointment. I don't think it's going to be that exciting.
You think so?
No. I don't know who are the women on this show. Do we know yet? Because maybe I know who they are.
No, they have not revealed who's going to be on the show yet, but they have teased that this new reality show is coming out and it's going to be in Afrikaans. And right. I think that's what I'm most excited about. Just seeing how, I won't lie, I just want to see how white Afrikaans ladies spend money. I've not seen that before in my life, and I just want to see
it's a fascination.
How they do it. How, you know? And I'm also curious, is it going to be like Mob Wives? Are they also going to be like, Steakom? You know, they just...
No. I certainly hope not, because, you know, I've spent a lot of my life trying to rehabilitate the reputation of Pretoria, because a lot of people who don't live here and who don't know much about Pretoria think it's this really, really backward place where, you know, if you don't speak Afrikaans, you kind of get sidelined. Let me remind you that this is the city where the president does his business. This is where all the embassies are. This is a very sophisticated place, you know. Pretoria's got amazing restaurants and places that people go and culture, and there's a lot going on in Pretoria. It's not a backwater. It's the capital city of South Africa. And most of the people,
where the money's at?
Most of the people who live in Pretoria will work in Joburg. So they're actually earning Joburg money and then putting it into Pretoria. And there's some beautiful, beautiful places in Pretoria. Gorgeous houses, lovely, like, hidden gems. I mean, it's just, it really is a magnificent place. And if you think Pretoria is just, you know, another, like, Bloemfontein, but further north, you're really not paying attention. So I think you guys, you're going to be in for a disappointment, because I think Pretoria people are quite a lot more sophisticated than you're expecting. And they might actually be boring for a show like this. You know, a show like this, you need people who are trashy and flashy. That's what you want. You want people who conspicuously spend money. I mean, I told you that the one 20-minute episode or whatever it was that I watched of the Cape Town one. And I was horrified by the very low quality of those women. And I thought, this is not good for Cape Town. So it could happen that Pretoria is also embarrassed by the women who enter. I also want to know how they choose these people. I mean, do they go through a rigorous kind of psychological testing? Do they just have to be a rich housewife? Is that all that's required? Is that the only qualification?
That's basically. Well, even, you know what's quite ironic is that some of these ladies are not even housewives. They just so happen to be rich and they're a girlfriend and they claim their title of being right. A housewife. But, you know, it's all up to the producers who they kind of have reached to. So they'll be like, oh, I kind of know somebody who's married to a billionaire, and I'll ask her. Yeah. And that's how they go about picking these ladies. Because I don't think none of these rich ladies are like, oh, I want to be on TV. Pick me.
I think kind
of like,
do.
Hey, here's the invitation.
No, I think the whole thing is, please pick me. I think they desperately want to be on TV. There are a lot of people who really want that in their lives. I've never understood it, but there are lots of people who want to be on TV. Chris says, I'd rather watch The Real Housewives of Brakpan. Oh, that would be a show.
No. So,
that would be a show, hey? Not. Wow.
I'm gonna watch the Mob Wives.
It's gonna be lekker watching some cook sisters getting it on. Here's another idea. Chris says, "What about The Real Housewives of Four Ways? That would be fun too, right?"
No,
that'd be great.
No, I have a feel for this, and I can tell you which ones will do well. Which ones are Four Ways, Brakpan? No, Cape Town? No, Pretoria?
Boxburg.
Yeah. Hannes rightly says Pretoria has the prettiest girls in the country. Now, that I can vouch for. That is absolutely true. I think the women from Pretoria are like the women from Constantia and Cape Town, says Anna Marie. You see, you don't know what you're talking about, Anna Marie. Dogozo says, Pretoria is amazing. I did university there, and it was a vibe. Definitely holds a special place in my heart. Mm-hmm. All right. You know, there are lots of people who are saying, like, Bloemfontein is cool. Thanks for a mention, said Shani. Well, don't worry. That'll be the only mention of Bloemfontein for this month. Carl says, Joe, but those Pretoria Macy's are hot AF. When I was a rep many years ago, calling on Brooklyn Mall, it was like visiting a modeling agency. Top draw. Mm-hmm.
You could find your wife in Woolworths.
You could. Brakpan 100% would work, says Ruth. Oh, yes. No, Brakpan would be amazing. Yes. Durban has the prettiest. Second is Cape Town. Fact, says Kim Jong-un. Well, Kim Jong-un, I don't know if you've been to Durban and Cape Town. You are completely misguided there. My girlfriend works in retail, where one of the housewives demanded a discount by saying, do you know who I am? I'm on The Real Housewives of Pretoria. Oh, God, that's terrible.
It's starting some people.
That's from Sebastian. Oh, what an embarrassment. You know, the best answer to someone saying, do you know who I am? There's no. And then turn and walk away. You don't need to say more than that. Economy of words destroy their whole idea of themselves in one fell swoop. Just go, no. When they say, do you know who I am? No. I've seen it happen to people before, famous people, and they crumble when people say it. All right, we're going to carry on talking about, like, where the pretty girls are from. But Hein, oh, God, what a terrible idea. The Real Housewives of Velkom, now that would be shameful. That would be so embarrassing. Can you imagine the Real Housewives of Welkom? Oi.
Well, I've just made this cup of soup, and this will be my only meal for the week.
Oh my god.
Oh no. Gareth, nothing is working.
Congo Chris says, Gareth, I think you owe PE a public apology after calling it the armpit of South Africa. Finally got a name like a wet armpit. No, I don't owe any apology to PE. I will never apologize to PE. PE does not deserve an apology. Although once I did say I would come and make a personal apology because it was in the front page of the newspapers for a while that I'd called PE an armpit. People got very upset. You know, this was in the days before, like, you could get outraged on social media. People used to get outraged. They'd write letters to the news, you know. I remember the Herald, I think, is their newspaper now, some terrible newspaper. And they wrote to me and they were like, oh, well, you were very insulting about PE the last time you were here. Do you wish to say anything? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to stick by what I said. It's an armpit. And then they got even more upset. And then the mayor, they even asked the mayor what the mayor of PE back in those days thought. This is about, what, 15 years ago? And the mayor of PE was outraged and said, oh, well, he's not welcome here or whatever. So I did this whole thing on my show where I said, all right, I'll come and make a public apology to the mayor, but then I want them to rename the city. And they have. So maybe I should. Maybe I should.
Look at you, Gareth, maybe being all influential.
Maybe I should go there and then say, maybe I should go say I'm going to apologize and then not apologize and say, I still think it's the worst place in the world. That would be fun. All right. Let's turn our attention now to something we've been thinking about for a long time. Had a bit of a rally in the last few days, but seems to be stable again. That is Bitcoin. We're talking beyond Bitcoin with Revix and the founder of Revix, Sean Saunders, who joins us this morning. How are you, Sean?
Morning, Gareth. I'm good. How are you doing this morning?
Nice to see you. How are things going at Revix? What's been happening? What's everybody talking about in your office at the moment?
A lot of people are talking about this Ethereum merge.
Oh, yeah?
Which is taking place next month. And then DeFi, which is what we're going to talk about today, I hope.
Absolutely.
I guess this has been the sector that's rallied the most over the last month. So definitely want to dive into that further.
All right. So first of all, you did cover this last week about how people need to be, they need to be sober about these things. They need to, as you said, and these are your words, I will not forget and I will not misquote you, zoom out so that you can get a proper comprehensive picture of what's going on. Because a lot of people are very, very cross about where crypto is at the moment. And you're allowed to get cross, but it's nobody's fault. I mean, this is what happens in a market. But tell us about DeFi. I mean, this is not a household implement. This is not something you would use in your kitchen. It's not a series of appliances. DeFi, D-E-F-I, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, so DeFi is decentralized finance.
Right.
And it's really building on the narrative that open finance started. So if anyone's been to, let's say, the United Kingdom or been to Europe, you'd see that you have open banking. And if anyone's working in sort of the financial sector, you would have engaged with open banking in some way, shape or form. When you enter a little finance app, all of a sudden everything is sort of interconnected and you can just make an instant payment.
Right.
That's part of open banking. Now, decentralized finance is looking to take a lot of the traditional banking and traditional financial products that we have today and sort of removing the intermediaries and making these systems just more open and transparent, right? So some examples here is if you had to imagine the JSE. Now, the JSE actually used to be a trading floor. So
yeah.
You used to have a whole bunch of people jumping around the room, making lots of noise.
They used to shout at each other and they used to wave pieces of paper in the air and then there'd be a guy with a chalkboard and he'd actually change the number as the share prices went up and down.
That's exactly it, right? Yeah. And then you had the tickers that used to go across. That was the evolution.
Right.
That was actually a big technological evolution because all of a sudden now you don't need people shouting the prices. You could actually see the prices running across essentially these little digital boards.
Right.
You would have seen that in some movies. Then essentially all of these exchanges went digital. So now you've got the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, the New York Stock Exchange, London Stock Exchange. All of these are essentially programs. They mm-hmm. are online platforms and they are companies ultimately. So the evolution of this, and I think this is the sort of next big step forward, and we're actually just at the early stages of this. And this is only one little sector of DeFi. I mean, an important sector, but a very small one, mm-hmm. is now where those programs are no longer controlled by companies, but rather by a group of people or community. Whoever decides to buy the tokens that would essentially provide the governance rights to a decentralized JSE or decentralized New York Stock Exchange. So imagine a program where you can go and say, hey, listen, I want to sell, I'm going to use Bitcoin, or, you know, it could in the future, it could be some shares. I want to sell shares, but I'm not doing this over the JSE. I'm doing this over this program that is controlled by a community. So very much like, you know, everyone that holds Bitcoin can then essentially, you know, contribute to upgrades and decide on essentially how the program or how the protocol gets upgraded. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly the same sort of thing that's being applied here. So that's just one area. Another area of DeFi, which has grown a lot, is the lending space. So let's just say you've got Bitcoin or you've got any other cryptocurrency, that cryptocurrency has grown a lot in value. I mean, if you've invested, you know, from 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, you have seen quite incredible gains. Now, maybe you're a long-term hodler, right? You don't want to be selling out of your crypto right now. You can actually go to some of these decentralized lending platforms, lock away your cryptocurrency and take out a loan against that cryptocurrency without ever dealing with another counterparty. So this is all done via this program. And this all sounds, you know, kind of airy-fairy and in the air. But I mean, look, I'm a finance nut. When you engage with this, you literally go, oh my word, this is the future of finance. So in some way, shape or form, this is where finance is going to go. And crypto, you know, sort of in terms of decentralizing money, and the way that we're moving value around has really just been the first step in sort of creating the foundational layer for decentralized finance.
Do you think that the enthusiasm for this has had a kind of stick put into the spokes of it by the fact that Bitcoin, for example, has gone down in value? Because a lot of people were very much batting on this wicket. People were saying, oh, we like the idea of decentralized finance. We like the idea of it not having an authority at the middle of it who can make bad decisions. The whole reason we've got inflation in the world now is because of authority figures and governments and reserve banks and that kind of thing making bad decisions, printing money, for example. That's why we've got a bit of a financial crisis on our hands now, and the R word that the Joe Biden administration won't talk about, recession, which is going on whether people like it or not. This is because we've trusted certain people like Janet Yellen, who's the Treasury Secretary, who said herself the other day, oh, I'm sorry. She sounds like a character from like a cartoon. Like when you know, like the old granny voice, she goes, I'm really sorry. I seem to have got it wrong about inflation. So she's admitted herself that she got it wrong. But people can't help looking at the state of crypto at the moment and going, well, maybe they don't have all the answers either. It's still a better system than trusting the experts like Janet Yellen, isn't it?
We are still in the early, early days. I mean, sure, it's been speculative. It's kind of like the early days of the internet. And we've overused this analogy, definitely.
Yeah.
But I mean, a lot of these programs or protocols, as they're called within the crypto space, I mean, these are sort of the test cases, right? I mean, you've seen some of them really grow in value and get some mainstream adoption. I mean, people forget that, you know, crypto is here, right? Like 2 years ago, we were kind of bringing this into question as to whether or not this will even be around in 2 years' time. That's not a question anymore. It's sort of just what will this actually look like in the future? And decentralized finance, I mean, certainly coming from my background, being in finance, this is the most exciting sector that I can see within the crypto space. The number of new sort of protocols being launched and programs being launched on top of the likes of Ethereum, Solana, Polkadot. I mean, I've never seen anything happen at this rate. And I think that's why I'm looking at it going like, this is still a very, very early stage of a very exciting sector. And, you know, if you look at sort of, I guess, crypto's correlation to DeFi, of course they're correlated. I mean, crypto has sort of been the first integrated use case of decentralized finance. But if you start thinking into the future, all of a sudden, imagine your property is tokenized. I mean, this sounds wild right now, but I guess all these kind of ideas were once wild once upon a time. But, you know, imagine your property is tokenized. Now, currently, let's say you've paid off your property and you're going, hell, I will need a little bit more money. So currently, you have to go to your bank, right? And let's just say you need a short-term loan to go on holiday or do something like that.
Sure.
Currently, you go to your bank. Your bank has to assess your credit worthiness. They have to go through all of these processes and paperwork and compliance and bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. Why not simply have your token, your property, put that into a decentralized lending protocol that sounds, you know, really complicated, but ultimately a program that then goes, hey, there's a property. That property has a value of, say, 3 million rand. Cool, you can take out a loan of 1 million rand, which is exactly the way that Aave and a whole bunch of other lending protocols work, but they're solely focused on crypto right now. All of a sudden, you don't have to rely on a bank. You're able to get this loan, and in a very, very short period of time, I'm talking a couple of minutes, you're then able to access these funds and go on holiday and pay a rate that the market determines, right? So that'll be dependent on whatever that home or that collateral is, that quality of that collateral. So that's where this is going, right? Right. You could have a share portfolio and look to collateralize that share portfolio. And this doesn't even get into like the insurance space or get into the trading space where there's all innovation happening. So just, you know, keep the term DeFi in mind, learn more about it. I really do think that this is probably, if you look out over, say, the next 3 to 5 years, the most exciting sector within the crypto space, and certainly right. the one where we're going to see the most innovation. Finance, while there's been a lot of innovation within the space, is ripe for disruption. There's a reason that, you know, all the big banks and insurance companies have those shiny buildings. They're somehow getting money from you, right?
They're also the people who are looking most at the future, trying to divine what's going to happen next. And they're starting to take this DeFi stuff a lot more seriously, because either it disintermediates them or they end up being part of it. All right, is there a way that you can get invested in DeFi as a concept, as an idea, as a possible portfolio option? What have we got there?
Yeah, so we spent 6 months working on a DeFi bundle, and we launched it last year. So far, it's been, I mean, of course, we've had a tough market period, but it has been one of our better performing bundles. It's up 50%, believe it or not, over the last month. That's sort of been in this rally that we've seen off market lows. So yeah, our DeFi bundle provides exposure to the top 10 largest DeFi protocols. Mm-hmm. So you diversify right across the top projects in the space. I will say as well that the reason we've launched our bundles across all of the different sectors and themes that we have is because we believe that in all of these early spaces, it's the most critical that you can ever, it's the most important time really ever where you should be diversifying across that sector. I mean, it's a high risk category. DeFi, we don't know, you know, if Aave or, you know, there's even terms such as PancakeSwap, that's a protocol that within this space. And that, you know, there's some really weird names in crypto because they're deliberately taking digs at traditional finance, right? They want to make a mockery of the way that things currently are done. So, you know, when you hear those weird names, that's pretty much why. So we just make it really simple to get exposure through our bundle. You can head over to our website. That's www.revx.com. You can look for the DeFi bundle there. You can, you know, ask our customer support for a little bit more information on this. We're happy to answer any questions, and you can get started with next to nothing, literally 150 Rand. You can also deposit cryptocurrency, withdraw cryptocurrency from our platform. So we just make it really easy to get exposure to the space.
Sean, thank you very much. There's Sean Sanders, Revx. You asked for him. He's back and he's giving us all the info that we need. Check out DeFi. Do your own research. I mean, this is something nobody's going to just go and invest without knowing a little bit more about it themselves. Sean has given you a basic overview, but you can go and do your own research. And if you want to know more, you can always ask the guys at Revx. That's what they're there for. They're the professionals. They know what they're talking about. And you can find out what the future of not only DeFi, but of crypto more generally might be. They've also got the USD coin and a bunch of others. So go and check them out. You can go and find out more at revx.com, R-E-V-I-X. Sean Sanders, we'll see you in a couple of days.
Brilliant. Cheers, good guys. Stuff, have a good week.
Thank you. There's Sean, and that means that we are coming up for 7 o'clock. Ooh, it's just a little bit after 7 o'clock. We'll be back with more after this. CliffCentral.com